we always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
The ceremony was like every other funeral I've ever been to. People giving table speeches, the sounds of sniffles and sobbing, a closed casket waiting to be buried. I sat in the back row with my head down, staring at the grass. After the ceremony, I stuck around for a little longer. I strayed away from the small remaining crowd and had a smoke as I dismissed the messages on my phone. As I put it in my pocket, I could see Casey walking my way. I gave him a nod and he came and stood by me. "How are you holding up, Casey?" I said. "Better with one of those," he said, pointing at my burning cigarette. I handed him a smoke and gave him a light. "It means a lot to me that you're here, Trev. It really takes me back to the good old days seeing your face, you know." "Yeah, I know. Hell, it feels like a different lifetime," I said. "Ain't that the truth?" "How's the missus?" he said, exhaling a plume of smoke. "Not great, if I'm being honest," I said as I tapped the ash off of my smoke. "I'm sorry to hear that." "Don't be. It was for the best, you know." He nodded as he took a drag. For a moment, there was an awkward silence. "Listen, Trev, I want to show you something," he said as he stomped out his half-finished smoke. "Sure, what's up?" "Come with me," he said. I followed him past the small crowd to a table that was placed in front of the casket before he was lowered. It was full of photos and memorabilia of Josh. A photo of Josh and Casey as babies in matching outfits, him grinning with a small baseball bat in his hands, and a couple recent photos that didn't have the same familiarity. "This one," Casey said as he picked up a small framed photograph. He handed me a photo that his mom took of Josh, Casey and I, standing with our fishing rods at the lake. I examined it for a moment, front and back. "The background," Casey said. I shifted my eyes to the background of the photo by the shoreline and paused. It was our friend, Lenny, looking back from the shoreline over his shoulder. "Do you remember Lenny?" Casey said. For a moment, I found it difficult to reply. "Yeah, Casey," I set the picture down. "Yeah, I do." It was 1992, the year I turned 12. It's a year I couldn't forget, even if I tried. I remember the summer of 92 being hotter than most summers. It had to have been barely above 90 degrees in the valley on any given day. But, according to the local radio DJ, every day was a scorcher. The heat did not deter us kids at all. In fact, we thrived in it. We spent our time like any other kids growing up in the 90s, riding our bikes around the neighborhood, fishing and exploring around the lake, or just goofing around with your best buds. We had fun, and we never knew how good we had it, until it was gone. The day we met Lenny was a memory I had to think about for a while to recollect, but when I finally remembered, it all came back unusually vivid. We wanted to be at the lake early, before the water got too warm to fish. Casey's shoelace got tangled up in his bike chain, so we walked our bikes most of the way there. "Looks like he's back to Velcro straps there, huh, Case?" Josh said. "No, I know how to tie shoes. Velcro's for babies." "Well then, I guess you're a baby then, huh?" Josh grinned as he flashed me a glance. We both let out a little chuckle. "We'll see who's laughing when I tie your shoes together and watch you fall on your ass," Casey said. "We'll see who's laughing when I tell Mom about your language, young man," Josh said as he shook his finger in Casey's face. Josh and I couldn't help but crack up laughing. Casey shrugged it off, unamused. "Hey, who's that kid?" Casey interrupted, pointing to the shoreline. Josh and I turned our attention to the shore. There was a kid who looked to be about our age, maybe a year or two older, fishing our favourite spot. "Who the hell's this kid? You better not be scaring away all the fish," Josh said. I shrugged and started walking down the bank to the shoreline. Josh and Casey followed quietly. As I made my way down the bank, I couldn't help but think of what my mom told me about the dangers of talking to strangers. "People seem nice on the outside," she would say. I rolled my eyes at this thought and dismissed it. After all, it's just a kid, I thought. As we arrived at the spot, I said what any good fisherman would say. "Any luck?" The stranger glanced over and pulled his stringer out of the water to reveal 4 good rainbow trout. "Yeah, I would say," the stranger said with a welcoming grin. "What are you using?" I asked. "Worms on a treble hook. They're going after him like it's candy," he giggled. The 3 of us set our bikes on the shore and took a few steps in his direction. "I'm Trevor, that's Josh, and his little brother, Casey." Casey waved at him with a shy grin. "Well, nice to meet you fellas. Name's Lenny. My folks and I just moved here from down south." "Well, welcome to town," I said, trying to match his vibrant grin. "I'm happy to be here," he replied. "Can we fish with you?" Casey said, softly. "Sure thing, long as you don't scare the fish away." "We won't scare the fish away, but he might scare you away," Josh said as he pointed at Casey. All of us burst into laughter, even Casey. It didn't take long for Lenny to grow on us. He made it easy. Lenny was an easygoing kind of kid. He made you feel included, important even. He had this smile that made you want to keep seeing it, if that makes sense. On our walk back home that day, Josh, Casey and I spent the whole walk talking about how cool we thought Lenny was. Hell, it was like we were all in love with him, the way we took turns dishing out compliments behind his back. And I realized what we were feeling was infatuation. What a guy, I thought. And what a guy he turned out to be. For the remainder of that summer, and well into fall, all 4 of us were inseparable. I don't think there was a single day we weren't at the lake or the surrounding woods. By mid-October, it was strange to think about life before we met Lenny. It just seemed like he was always there, like he belonged in our gang. We thought we would all be friends forever. As Halloween drew nearer, the town started to come alive. The main street was dressed to the nines in orange and purple lights, and nearly every neighborhood porch was lined with jack-o'-lanterns and fake cobwebs, or at the very least, pumpkins. The school week leading up to Halloween was a drag. It seemed as if every day closer to the holiday was slower than the last. But at last, it was Thursday. Fall break had begun. And in 2 days, we would be flying high with sacks full of candy at our disposal. We chatted as we walked our bikes up the hill back home. "We need to go to the rich people's houses first," Casey said. "They have all the good candy." "No, we need to go to Mr. Winger's house. He gave out king-sized candy bars last year. The man never disappoints," I said. "Yeah, but would you rather get one big candy bar or a ton of good candy?" Casey replied. I couldn't argue. "Guys, I think we're going about this all wrong," Josh interrupted. We turned our attention to him, slightly offended. "I mean, aren't we getting kind of old to trick-or-treat?" he continued. "I think we should get into some spooky stuff." "What do you mean?" I said. "I heard they got a haunted house in the next town over," he replied. "Does the haunted house have candy?" Casey said. "That's exactly what a baby would say," Josh teased. "Let's go see what Lenny thinks about it," I said. I had to say something before they started arguing. "All right, we'll see what Lenny thinks. He probably eats candy whenever he wants anyway, being homeschooled and all," Josh said. "Yeah, lucky guy," Casey added. After we arrived in our neighborhood, we dropped our backpacks off and hopped on our bikes, headed to the lake to talk to Lenny. Lenny lived on an old cabin at the far end of the lake. As it turns out, the fishing spot we met him at happened to be a near-perfect halfway point for all of us to meet up. We had this routine of meeting up with Lenny after school to hang out. I think we all wished Lenny went to public school. It made us feel cool hanging around the older kid, even if he was just 14. When we arrived at the lake, Lenny was already there trying to skip some rocks. "Lenny," Josh shouted. "I need your vote on something, Len," he said as we approached the shoreline. "What's up, guys?" Lenny said. "Halloween is what's up. I'm trying to get these babies to go to a haunted house instead of trick-or-treating," Josh said, nudging Casey with his elbow. haunted house? Lenny asked. They got one in the next town over. Admission's only $5 a head, Josh replied. We all watched Lenny attentively, awaiting his verdict on the matter. He paused. I know how he can do something spooky, save our money, and get candy, he said. What are you thinking, Len? I asked. Down in the far end of the lake by my house, there is a trail that leads up to an abandoned mine. I heard some old fishermen talking about it last week before we met up. If we do that just before dawn, when it's still dark, we can still trick-or-treat later. An abandoned mine? Casey said. Yeah, you know, like where they dig for gold and silver and all that. We might even find treasure up there. Who knows? Lenny said. Casey's eyes widened. You see, guys, that's what I'm talking about. I knew I could count on you, Len, Josh said as he threw an arm around Lenny's shoulder. Lenny smiled. So, what do you guys say? Josh said. Casey looked up at me, awaiting my reply. Yeah, I guess that's cool, I said. Yeah, okay, Casey added. Then it's settled. On Halloween, we head up to that abandoned mine, Josh said. We all nodded our heads in agreement. The following day, we hung out on our own street. Lenny said he had somewhere to go with his parents the night before, leaving the three of us in boredom. Josh was a damn chatterbox that day. He wouldn't shut the hell up about the mine. His what-if scenarios and attempt to scare us were starting to get annoying. You know that a murder happened up there 10 years ago, Josh said. You're lying. I know you're just trying to scare us. That's not true, right, Trevor? Casey said. Seriously, Josh, that's enough, I said. Oh, come on. You know I'm just messing with you guys, he replied. Whatever, man, I said as I looked away. Don't be such a damn baby, Trev. Hell, you might as well be in the fourth grade with old Casey here. Shut up, Josh, Casey said. What? It's not my fault Trevor probably pees the bed every night. Shut the hell up, Josh, I shouted. Josh looked at me in shocked silence. Casey looked at the ground. Whatever, man. I'm out of here. See you babies later. He hopped in his bike and pedaled away coolly. Don't listen to him, Trev. He's just being dumb, Casey said. I know, Case. I'm gonna go too, though. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy, I said. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow, bud, he replied, and then we parted ways. I had trouble falling asleep that night, and when I did, I had a strange dream. The dream felt a way that I can't really put into words. I guess what I can say is that it wasn't realistic, because it somehow felt more than real, if that makes any sense. We were all in a marching band, marching down the street in a big parade. Casey and I had little snare drums that we were beating on in unison. Josh was wielding a big flagstaff that he would hoist in the air on every beat of the bass drum. Lenny was tooting away on a little silver flute. We were all cheery as could be, marching happily in a row. As a cloud began to cover the sun, the beat gradually got slower. It felt like time was slowing gradually. Every beat of the bass drum got deeper and further apart. I noticed the smile on Josh's face began to get larger as the deep boom of the drum echoed ever deeper. I felt my body stiffening, like I was trying to walk through a pool of thick mud. The sky turned grey and wet. When I looked back at Josh, I noticed his smile had grown so large it was cutting into what was left of his eyes. Blood trickled down his horribly disfigured lips and dripped off his chin. I couldn't move. Everything stopped. I couldn't breathe or even blink. I stared at Josh's disfigured face in absolute despair. It felt like pain in its purest form, more painful than my divorce or my mother's death, more painful than watching my wife miscarry twice, only to get knocked up by some guy at work. I felt like my soul was screaming. And then, my alarm woke me up. I don't remember getting ready that morning. All I remember is pedaling down the street in the last hours of night's darkness in a mental fog. I didn't really process what I was doing until I arrived at the lake to see Josh and Casey already waiting for me. Casey shone his flashlight in my tired face as I approached. Please, who goes there? Casey joked. I winced at the brightness. About time. What did you do, sleep in? Josh said, Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. I set my alarm and everything. Where's Lenny? I said, mid-yawn. Guess you're not the only one who slipped in. What time is it? Josh said. 5:16, Casey said, glancing at his cheap digital watch. He's probably on his way. Let's just head towards his house. I bet we'll run into him on the way, Josh suggested. We mounted our bikes and set off down the road. As we were riding our bikes down the dark wooded road, my brain fog began to clear up. I remember that Josh and I had been a little tense the previous night. As I thought through the events of the previous day, I remember the dream. I got nauseous and a little dizzy, but we were pretty far down the road already. I felt like there was no turning back. We must have biked for 2 or so miles, and still there was no sight of Lenny. We all came to a slow stop. I feel like we should have seen him by now, Casey said. I'll bet he's cozied up in his bed still. Come on, let's just go to his house and wake him up, Josh insisted. Do you even know where Lenny's house is? I asked. I mean, no, but there's only one cabin at the end of the lake as far as I know, he said. I knew exactly the cabin he was talking about. It's also the one I pictured when Lenny told us about where he lived. I've driven past it a handful of times, and I always thought it would be a pretty cool place to live if somebody fixed it up. I suddenly felt eager to see it in its refurbished glory. Yeah, okay, I agreed. We continued for maybe another half a mile until we reached the cabin. The cabin was on the right side of the street, pulled back from the road a little bit. To get to the lake, all you had to do was cross the street and walk down the small bank. Like I said, I'd always thought it was a damn cool place, and it seemed fitting that Lenny would be the one to finally live there. We all set our bikes down and looked at the cabin from the road. Now we just had to figure out which room is his, Josh said. What if his parents don't want him out so early? What if they get mad? Casey asked. Mad at what? Lenny probably has the coolest parents ever. Besides, we went fishing earlier than this all summer, Josh said. Yeah, when it was still light out, I added. Josh rolled his eyes. Come on, it'll be fine, he said as he started walking up the dirt driveway. Casey and I looked at each other. After a moment of reluctance, we both started up the driveway after him. When we got close to the house, we all stood and looked at it for a moment. There weren't any lights on, which wasn't unusual, but we also couldn't see any cars parked anywhere. Do you even think they're home? Casey said. Yeah, he went with his parents yesterday. Maybe they haven't come home yet, I added. No, believe me, Lenny wouldn't miss out on this. I'll check the back windows. You guys go look in the side ones, Josh said as he started walking to the back of the house. Just before he reached the back, we heard a loud holler. We all froze and looked at each other. What the hell was that? Casey said. Shh, wait a minute. Listen, Josh said. We all stood still and listened. We heard another yell from the woods. It sounded like it was closer to the road. We all scrambled back down the dirt driveway to the road, trying to find the source of the noise. When we got to the road, we heard a distinct, "Hey!" coming from up the road. Did you guys hear that? Sounds like Len, Josh said. He took off in the direction of the noise, and Casey and I ran after him. Josh stopped to listen for another yell, and Casey and I nearly ran into him. Guys, the distant voice yelled, over here. We ran further up the road until we came upon an old overgrown trailhead. Look, there he is, Josh said as he looked up the shrubby trail. I looked up to see Lenny about 40 yards up the trail waving back at us. At that point, it was just barely getting light enough to make out any distinguishable features. That son of a... And you guys are getting mad at me for playing tricks on you guys, Josh laughed. Wait up for us, he yelled as he went running up the trail. Casey and I looked at each other and shrugged, and then started making our way up the narrow trail. Josh had now caught up to Lenny and was standing before him. From further down the trail, I heard Lenny murmur something as he put his hand on Josh's shoulder. Suddenly, Josh turned back in our direction and started running back. As he ran past us back to the road, he didn't say anything or even look at us, but he looked worried. Josh, I yelled. What's the matter? I said, to no reply. I had a feeling that Lenny might have been injured or in some kind of danger, and Josh ran to get help. That thought may have crossed Casey's mind too, because without a word, we both darted up the trail to find Lenny, who was no longer in sight. The dead leaves rustled under our feet as Casey and I ran up the bushy trail. The sky was a deep blue that tinted the landscape and made the cool autumn air seem icier than usual. The trail began to wind and get steeper, but we kept running until we got to a fork in the trail. We both stopped at the fork and panted for a while. I took a deep breath of my inhaler. Lenny! Lenny! Casey hollered. Len! Was all I was able to manage through gasping breaths. We waited for a moment, trying to quiet our breathing so we could hear better. Help! I heard faintly from up the hill. Guys, hurry! Help me! Casey and I hiked slowly up the steep hill, stopping periodically in the loud rustling of the leaves to better hear the direction Lenny's voice was coming from. Trevor! Casey! He cried. When we reached the top of the steep hill, the trail became more rocky. The direction of the trail had become unapparent. What started as a narrow trail turned into a rocky cove that was too wide open to determine a path. Casey, do you still have your flashlight? I said. Yeah, he said as he fumbled in his small pack. I shined the flashlight around the ground, trying to find where the trail continued. Lenny, I yelled. Guys, I'm over here, he said. He sounded very close now. We began walking in the direction of the voice as it got clearer. Guys, I'm in here, he said. I shined my light on a big rock wall. At the bottom, there was a small, jagged opening. Len, are you in there? I said as Casey and I approached the small hole. Trevor, he said. I shined a flashlight in the hole and saw Lenny trapped beneath the surface. Lenny, are you okay, man? How the hell did you get in there? I said. Please, Trevor, help me out of here, he pleaded. Don't worry, Len, we'll get you out, Casey said. He looked at me. Come on, Trev, we'll each grab a hand and pull him out. I looked at Lenny's worried, tearful face. I looked into his scared eyes through the small opening. I looked at the opening. The very small opening. Casey began to reach his arm out and into the cave. I looked at Lenny, his arms stretched out, awaiting Casey's grasp. In his worried face, for a split second, I saw a chilling grin. Casey, don't, I said, pushing his arm back towards his body. Trevor, what the... Casey murmured. We watched as the creature that had been Lenny only a moment ago slowly faded deeper into the cave. A deep, growling rumble echoed in the darkness as the gaunt, paralyzing face sunk slowly into the abyss. I don't remember anything but running after that. When we got back to what we thought was Lenny's house, I stopped to catch my breath. Casey hopped on his bike and left without a word, crying hysterically. I sat down for a moment longer and hit my inhaler. I was having trouble catching my breath and thought for a second I might pass out. I forced myself to take deep breaths and calm down, afraid of what might happen if I lost consciousness. Finally, I picked up my bike and pedaled home as fast as I could. I didn't look back once. I don't know what more I can say about the whole ordeal. We told our parents about it, and they actually looked into it. Hell, they even called the authorities. The cops weren't much help, though, nor were they amused. All they did was tell us that the cabin we claimed was Lenny's house had been abandoned for 40 years and basically to not waste their time. Josh never came back to school after fall break. Casey told me a couple months later how different Josh had become. He never really went into detail about it, and I didn't really want to ask. In the spring of 95, Josh and Casey moved away. I didn't see either of their faces again until social media got big nearly 20 years later. I searched both their names out of curiosity, but only found a profile for Casey. We've spent the years up until now liking each other's posts and photos, but not much else, until Josh's death. He sent me a message personally, asking me to come. I felt like I knew why. And to be honest, I felt like I needed to. I needed to understand and be understood for once in my life. I needed to know that I'm not crazy, that what I saw all those years ago actually happened. After Casey showed me that picture at the funeral, we talked for a while. It felt good being able to talk to someone who understood. I wish Josh was there with us, because talking might have helped him too. I can't say that I got any concrete answers for what happened. I don't think I ever will. I still can't keep myself from wondering sometimes. And after I looked at the small framed picture, I've been wondering a lot. Before I left the funeral, I took one last look at the photograph and the writing on the back in faded blue cursive. July 4th, 1990.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.